Accession number 9754, Reel 1.
Mr. Williams, tape one. First of all, Mr. Williams, could I ask you about your background? Whereabouts were you born and brought up?
I was born in Weston-super-Mare, Somerset. My mother died when I was 12. And I helped my father in the shop business at home until I was 19. And my friend, who was in the Salvation Army band with me, had been apprenticed to motor engineering, and I was very interested in motors. I'd been used to driving horses and so on, but motors were great. So he taught me a good deal of what I know about looking after a motor and driving it and so on, and I learnt to drive, could drive. I saw an advert in the paper when the war was on that drivers were urgently required, and so I applied for the motor transport section of the Army Service Corps. Was accepted.
What date would that have been?
The 9th of September 1915.
Can I go back a bit to the days before the war? Did you have any idea that a war was coming then? Were there any signs before it actually broke out?
And of course, I was only 18 and working at home with my father, and I knew there was a war coming. I lived at the seaside, Weston-super-Mare, and people coming for holidays and so on. There was a great consternation with the war, but...
When war did break out, what would you say the atmosphere was in the area you were living? You know, how did people react generally to it?
One of great consternation and so on, but, well, we're going to win even if it's going to be a long struggle.
How about the young men? You know, would you say there was enthusiasm to join up?
Yes, very definitely. My friend that I was telling you about, Cyril Westlake, he joined the North Somerset Yeomanry, and he was in France and back home wounded in a very short space of time. And many other of my friends, they enlisted too, and, well, there was great preparation for war. It's a serious business.
Did you have any idea how long it would last? You know, any sort of expectations?
Not really, because, of course, we had never experienced a war before. We'd heard about the South African War, and I just remember the celebrations of the... I suppose it was a sort of a victory in the South African War and the bands turning out in the streets and so on, but that's all I knew about war.
So now could I go back to this advert that you saw? Was it in the paper for the appeal for drivers?
Oh, yes, quite a number of them, because drivers in those days were not, as they are today, ten a penny. It was quite an experience to... It was quite an accomplishment to be able to drive. So drivers were urgently required.
And can you remember the stages of your enlistment? You know, where did you have to go for an interview?
Oh, yes, I just went down to the recruiting office in Oxford Street, Weston-super-Mare, and went to the doctor. He passed me for the Army Service Corps. I had varicose veins, and I don't think I would have got through for the infantry, but I was okay for the Army Service Corps. I went to Grove Park in London, passed a pretty severe test on a 4-ton lorry, going up a steep hill and not letting it run back and so on, but I was adjudged okay, and so was mobilised to 14th MAC right away, and in 3 weeks I was in France.
Could you tell me something?
Driving a motor ambulance.
Yes, could you tell me something about the 14th MAC? You know, what was this?
Yes, the 14th MAC was a convoy of ambulances. We had some Clement Talbots, a French machine, and we had Daimlers. I can't quite remember how many there were in the section, but I would think about 40 or 50 motor ambulances. And we had the clearing from Loker, Lacleat, Dicky Bush, and round Armentiers.
What sort of training did you have, apart from your sort of driving?
Well, I didn't need any other training because I could drive and so on, and all the training I required, military-wise, was standard attention, right turn and left turn and so on. You didn't need any marching and drills and...
Is that so? You didn't have any of
firing of rifles and so on.
No, you didn't
have... No, I was in France in 3 weeks. There wasn't time.
How about kitting out with uniform?
Oh, well, that was an easy matter. As soon as you got there, you were kitted out with your khaki dress and so on, and you were ready.
How about the living conditions in Grove Park, you know, in the early days? How were you sort of situated there?
Well, we were only there for 2 or 3 weeks. I really can't remember. I think we were billeted in empty houses. Empty houses were requisitioned for troops everywhere, and you just slept on the floor with 2 or 3 blankets wrapped around you, and you put your head on your kit bag, in which was probably a spare pair of boots, and so that's how you got on.
The ambulances you were driving, would they have been any particular colour? And can you remember the markings on them?
Oh, yes, they were very similar to a motor ambulance today. Not quite so fine as the hospitals use these days. They had the usual Red Cross markings on them, and we carried 4 lying patients or 8 sitting patients.
And you were going back to your training, did you have any sort of instruction as to how to carry patients or first aid?
There were always Red Cross men with us. We were responsible for the ambulance. They looked after the patients.
You just had a sole driving job, did you? That was your
task? Yes, there was a first driver and a second driver in case anyone was hurt. And the RAMC men looked after the patients. They were responsible for them.
And were you given any mechanical training? You know, say a
tyre? Well, you already had that. You were a skilled driver. Actually, I learned on a motor coach, a 20-seater, so I was well used to cars and changing wheels and so on.
Could I ask you now about your journey to France? I know this was a very brief period of your war, but can you remember going over, and did you actually go with the ambulances?
Yes. A small transport across the Channel from Southampton to Le Havre. A nasty wet night. The English Channel wasn't kind. We were all battened down underneath because of fear of submarines. Nearly everyone was dreadfully queasy in the tummy regions, and it wasn't a pleasant trip. Added to that, as soon as we got to Le Havre, we were inoculated, and that wasn't very comfortable. And then we were asked to go and fetch the ambulances from where they had landed, further up the Seine. And I remember volunteering the next morning to go and help fetch the ambulances. And we went up the line. And we were soon quartered at a place called Bayeul, in the square of the church there. And we commenced operations right away. We cleared from the trench casualty dressing stations to the hospitals as required.
Can you remember the date that you would have arrived in France?
Yes, 29th of September 1915.
And what was the activity in that area? You know, you had this job of clearing the casualties from the trench casualty station.
There wasn't much movement during the day, but the plan was that at, say, 7:30 or so, bit before perhaps, the motorcyclists on duty would bring back the detail required, the number of ambulances, the casualty dressing stations indicated, and the ambulances would set off in charge of an NCO to the various places to bring back the cases for treatment.
How would you say the organisation, you know, the system worked? Was it efficient, do you think? Were wounded people quickly dealt with?
Oh, yes. Very, very fine indeed.
I wonder if you could possibly give me the stages of medical care that a wounded man in the trenches would have received.
Yes, we brought them from the trench dressing stations to the casualty clearing station. They were looked after there and then were sent on to the base dressing stations, which were much nearer the coast, of course.
Can you remember any particular incidents, you know, with the cases you were involved with? You know, I wondered how, as a young man, you took to this work.
I just wanted to say that I was 19, I'd been away from home for one weekend. I was landed in France after 3 weeks in the army. We were billeted, I remember, in a French building, and the floors were stone, I remember, and the conditions were such that we couldn't look after ourselves very well, and it wasn't a very nice business for a young fellow to have to, what we called, reading their shirt, because the lice got all up the seams. Lice didn't like paraffin or petrol, but we couldn't get rid of them except by the official method. They took you down to the delousing station, which was a place filled with half tubs of hot water and disinfectant. You disrobed and cleansed yourself as best you could and put on clean underclothes and away to our billet again. It was the best that could be done, but of course one must expect uncomfortable conditions in wartime.
Did you have any idea, you know, when you went up for the casualties, the sort of life the infantry were having?
Must have been terrible for the infantry, especially in the mud of the trenches. And I remember on one occasion that we were coming down and the ambulance had four patients, and when we got up to the casualty clearing station, two of them were gone to heaven, so we were left with two patients to deliver only.
What were the state of the roads in France at that time?
Not too bad, except that they're rough, pavy, and not like our British roads. It was impossible almost to keep upright our heavy 3.5 horse Triumph motorbikes, which were attached to our convoy. They were much heavier than the 2.75 Douglas machines, which we had later in the war when attached to 905 MT Company.
I was wondering also, Mr. Williams, about the Red Cross. Did the Germans observe that? You know, was it respected? Did you ever see a case of when it was shelled?
Well,
in France.
I haven't much experience, but I have thought since that I'm not quite sure that our side were sort of fair in a way, if you're going to observe any of the niceties of war, if there are any, because our ambulances were quartered in the square outside the church, which is one of the main buildings in Bailleul.
And that offended you? You disapproved of that?
Well, I wonder if it was quite fair to put ambulances in the square where a church was, because if they were coming over to bomb the ambulances, they would they couldn't help bombing the church at the same time. And of course the French are mostly Roman Catholic. In fact, one little thing I remember, that it was a little bit pathetic in the dark, cold mornings. We would see the French peasant women going into church to pray for their men. And in fact, I myself, before our detail came through in the evening, I've often gone into the Roman Catholic Church to say my own prayers, and although I didn't understand the service, not being a Roman Catholic, or the words that were being said, it was an opportunity for worship.
Did you ever know of a case when an ambulance was shelled or bombed by
the... No.
How long would you have been in France before you returned to Blighty?
I wasn't really in France very long, because unfortunately, with the conditions prevailing and the lateness of the season, I got sick and was myself sent down to the base. The doctor, when examining me and so on, asked how old I was, how long I'd been in France, and marked me back for Blighty.
While you were in France, you know, for that period, did you ever see any of the Friends Ambulance Unit involved with medical work there, you know, the Quaker organisation?
No, I can't say that I did.
And I wondered also about the Salvation Army, because I know that you, you know, devoted your life really to work with the Salvation Army in later years.
Yes.
Were they in evidence in the area in France where you were?
No, not so far up the line, but they did run a motor ambulance convoy down at the base. It was commanded by one of our pretty high-ranking officers, a man called Major William Dalzell. They carried on the work there, I believe, right throughout the war.
And what work would they have done? Have you any idea?
Well, they would be doing ambulance work, but I don't suppose it would be more than from the base casualty clearing station. I really don't know very much about them, except that they existed.
When you returned to Blighty, what were you involved with then, Mr. Williams? This would have been in 1916, wouldn't it?
Yes. I after reporting back to Grove Park, I was sent down to Beaufort. And went to Catford, to the RASC depot there, and was engaged upon security duties just for a short while. And then one day there was a call went forth for any men who were musicians, would they kindly report to the sergeant major, because there was a prospect of a band being formed. Being an instrumentalist, I naturally obeyed orders, duly reported, was posted to B Company, Horner Grange, Sydenham, and was put through a test by the sergeant there. My musical knowledge was pretty good on a euphonium or trombone, and they proceeded to form the band. We did some very good service there. One Sunday we marched the troops to St. Mark's Church at Sydenham. The following Sunday we would march the troops to the church at Catford, which I believe has since been bombed. We also played at officers' mess and were sent to various functions to entertain wounded soldiers who were recuperating, and various social events. But of course that didn't last very long. The band came to a very good way of a very good state of efficiency under our leader, the Sergeant Camp, who was a Devonshire man, I remember. And then very quickly it was decided that the war was getting too serious to allow a band to continue to function, and we were sent down to Beaufort. We were on various odd duties down there, and then I was mobilised, made a sergeant, and posted to 905 MT Company.
Before I ask you about that, could I just ask about the sort of music you would be playing, you know, in the band? Would these have been the songs we associate with World War One? It's a Long Way to Tipperary, that sort of thing, or were they more patriotic?
Yes, everything, all the patriotic songs, marches, well, anything. We were all skilled musicians, they didn't want you. You had to be a sort of a ready-made bandsman right away to step into it. And it was quite easy because I'd been used to doing it so often in the Salvation Army band as a regular Sunday religious observance.
Is there any particular tune that you associate with your playing in the band, or...?
There are so many of them, it would be very difficult to outline one or two, but all the usual ones, of course.
Can you give a few names of the tunes? Can you...?
Well, It's a Long Way to Tipperary, and all the usual ones that were popular at that time. And then, of course, there were many other tunes that one would sing socially and so on. Some of the ones that the boys would sing, of course, wouldn't be very popular in a drawing room.
Yes, I'd like to ask you now about your posting. Was it to 905 Motor Transport Company?
905 Motor Company was a company of 75 four-ton Peerless lorries, subdivided into five sections of 15 with an officer, sergeant and corporal in charge of each section. There were motorbikes accompanying the section and workshop lorries, all complete for action.
These peerless lorries, am I right in thinking they were American?
They were American lorries, yes, and they were chain-driven and unlike the big Leylands with their big back axles.
What did you think of them as a lorry? You know, were they...
They were slow, but they were very reliable, and in their low gear, they would go up almost one side of a house in their low gears. They were very good. They weren't quite like ours because they had a 6-volt Remy ignition, which we had to get used to, but it was very efficient.
And what sort of training did you have before? You were saying this was for the Egypt Expeditionary Force, is that right?
Yes.
Did you have any particular training for that sort of countryside, the terrain there, before you left?
No, none at all. As I say, we were formed up at Bulford, from where we went to Bath. We were at Bath possibly 2 or 3 weeks, getting used to the lorries, getting a little drill, and gradually getting organised. And then from Avonmouth, the lorries were shipped in various vessels to the Egyptian Expeditionary Force, and the men, the personnel, we travelled across France by train and landed at Marseilles.
Were you have kitted out with special clothing before you
Not left? Until we got to Egypt.
Yes, I'll ask you about that then. But could I ask you about your role? You were a sergeant.
Yes.
So what would your responsibilities have been within your little unit?
I had the oversight under my CO of 15 of those lorries, with a corporal and lance corporal as well. And we would be sent off sometimes in charge of 4 or 5 lorries, sometimes more would be involved, to various detail, whatever was required.